There is power and freedom when you are full of God's joy. On today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland and special guest Jeremy Pearsons, learn how to praise your way to victory and renew your youth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is alive and well, and He's on your side with the intent to bring you out and exalt you into a place that's beyond any good thing you ever experienced in all of your life. That's what He's been out to do all the time. And we're going to talk about today how you can yield to that and walk in it and walk in a place that is really what everybody desires. They just don't know it. Those that do don't know how to get there. But we're going to talk about it today. Father, we thank You for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me today in welcoming Jeremy Pearsons to this broadcast?
Thank you, sir.
Bud, I'm glad you're here.
I'm thrilled to be here. It's a pleasure.
Let's go with the fourth chapter of Mark again. There's a point here in what Jesus talked about when he first of all, He taught on the sower and the seed. Mm-hmm. Then when the members of His staff, His disciples and so forth, they gathered around, then He took what He had taught publicly and He sat down and He explained it to them step by step by step. The subject of this, the sower sows the word, when he said to them, "Know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables?"
What a huge statement.
Oh, it's big.
Yeah.
Now, then He said first thing He said was, the sower sows the word. The subject of this whole thing is the word. Mm-hmm. Because it's the word that brings forth the fruit. The fruit is what He's after. He's not just after the fruit for heaven's sake. He's after the fruit for your sake and my sake, so that we can be part of what heaven does. Mm-hmm. And that's the place you want to be.
Yeah.
This idea that God is telling everybody to be holy, to be like Me, you have to not have anything. Well, if that's true, then God needs to start giving up what He's got, because He's got more than anybody. I mean, that's religion and religious correctness and all that. His point about this whole thing, what He's getting to, he teaches down to it, then He teaches beyond it, mm-hmm, of the Word bringing forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold.
Now here, this is an interesting point that you and I have to address. Let me tell you what it's like to grow up in your house. If you grow up in this household, there's one thing you know better than anything else: the Word works.
It works.
And you go to the Word. What's the Word say about it? Oh, you have this need. Well, what's the Word say about it? There's something alarming to me in this parable, and that is this. If the seed is the Word, and the Word got sown four times, the thing that really catches my attention is that it only worked once.
Yeah.
Now, that's not right. That's not good. I don't think God is satisfied with that. And as a matter of fact, that's why Jesus is relaying this. He's saying, look, it should be producing more, but here's why it's not.
Yeah.
And He gets down to that last kind of ground and says, look, this kind of ground is free from everything else where this seed was not working before. And when you come to grips with what all is in the Word, the salvation is in the Word, and deliverance is in the Word, and healing and prosperity and redemption and renewal and recovery and all of it is in the Word, you've got to find out what enables the Word. What's that catalyst that enables, mm-hmm, the Word,
yeah,
to produce and reproduce it?
And how to release it. you can't just do what you feel like works, mm-hmm. or what Uncle Doodad said, the Word of God is the only thing you can trust to do the work. Mm-hmm. I noticed this years and years ago. I was just an eye-opener to me. Brother Hagin brought my attention to it, and I watched it down through the years specifically, and because it's so prevalent. You have people praying for things, but no word to stand on. Mm-hmm. You have people that desire certain things. Maybe God told them to do it, but no word to stand on. And I heard this one day in my own prayer time. Man, I'm in there, you know, and I'm going. And I heard the Word of God say, whoa, let the Word fight its own fight. Mm. I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
Why not let the Word do its own fight here? Now, that means I'm going to have to base it on something. I have to have a specific scripture. Brother Hagin said he ran tests in his church, and he did for certain reasons, just find out for himself. And he said they'd all be down at the altar. You know, back in those days, back before when he was a young pastor, before we came into all these things, particularly in full gospel churches. And back in the early days of Baptist churches, they did, and Methodist churches, they did this, where they would invite everybody at the close of a service, all that would like, come spend time in the altars and pray and, mm-hmm. and seek the Lord and so forth and so on. I've seen it where just about everybody in church would come spend at least a few minutes down there around that altar and praising the worship. And, oh, some of them really getting into it now. Mm-hmm. Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God! You know? And Brother Hagin said, he'd say, excuse me, what are you praying for? What are you looking for from God? Well, nothing in particular. Yeah,
just praying.
Yeah, just praying. And he said he always thought, well, that's about what you're going to get, is nothing in particular. Yeah. So if you're praising God, it ought to bring some results. Mm-hmm. If you're just telling God you love Him, then that's a specific reason to pray.
Yeah.
But even if you got down on your knees and there wasn't anything all that particular, then particularize something. Get before the Lord just to tell Him how wonderful it is to have Him in your life. Mm-hmm. But be word aware mm-hmm. all the time. God inside minded all the time. Righteousness in Christ minded all the time.
That's to be spiritually minded.
All the time.
Yeah.
And you catch yourself some other way, stop it. Stop it right where you are. Speak out the Word of God right where you are and change it. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of this was, in reality, the blessing of Abraham. Be fruitful, multiply, mm-hmm. subdue the earth, have dominion over it, and replenish it. The power of replenishment is in here. Mm-hmm. So, in the blessing. Well, if you're in Christ, then are you the seed of Abraham and heirs according to what God promised Abraham. For Christ was made a curse for us, that we, the Gentiles, might receive the blessing of Abraham. Now, these are they sown on good ground, such as hear the Word. Mm-hmm. All of them heard the
Every
Word.
One of them.
100% of them heard the Word. 25% of them acted on it or received it. They heard it on purpose. They intended to act on it before they ever heard it. That's what Proverbs 4, that we, particularly last week, we spent quite some time on that. Incline your ear unto my saying. But first he said, attend to my words.
Pay attention.
Yeah. Here in Texas, we say, tend to it. Jeremy, can you come on, go with me, man. I'm going down to the Sunday. I can't do it, Papa. I got to tend to this because I told Daddy I'd do it. What'd you just do? You put whatever that was first over what I wanted you to do. May not have been anything wrong with what else it may be something you wanted to do. But this, you had given more esteem mm-hmm. to this job than you attend to that before you do anything else.
That's honor.
Yes, it is.
And my attention and my focus has so been drawn in the Word, just like I mentioned before about this, this parable, finding places where the Word couldn't work. Because that's where people are. They're saying it's not working, but it, as opposed to just saying, well, I guess it works for some and not for others, go back and find out why. Jesus went into his own hometown, and it says he there would do no mighty works. No, he could do. Why? He said, a prophet is not without honor. There was no honor for the Word made flesh. And where there was no honor for the Word, he came with willingness to heal. He came with willingness to see them saved and delivered and raised from the dead if the need arose for that. He came with the willingness to do that. And here's the subtle lie that the church has bought into. It's that God is able, we just don't know if he's willing. But and this is a huge statement, you get some funny looks when you say this, but I would say it's just the opposite. I know he's willing, I just don't know if he's able. Because his ability to work in my life is cut short where my honor for his Word ends. He had no ability to do what he came to do. It's just Mark 6, just a couple of chapters later, couldn't do it. To think that the ability had been drained from the Word, that's huge.
He laid hands on people that didn't get anything. Can you imagine that, Jesus laying hands on somebody and it not working?
Because they didn't esteem, they didn't value, they didn't honor the Word.
When you have no honor for the Word, then all of your life powers don't work. Love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, kindness, temperance, these forces that the Spirit bears, the forces of life. Mm-hmm. Attend to my Word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart out of your eyes. For they are life to those that find them. They are life to those that seek them. They're alive to those that honor them and put them first mm-hmm. place. Oh, is that what God says about, well, that's the decision's over. That's what we're going
to
do.
Got to attend to. Give your attention.
Yeah, I got to attend to that first.
Seeking first.
And so then he said, they are life to those that find them, and then therefore they are health to all their flesh. Yeah. You and I and everybody else knows that when the spirit man is gone out of this body, there's the life gone, the life force is gone. Now, the body doesn't have to have anything wrong with it for that to happen. There are people that die, they do autopsies on them and everything else, and they really have a hard time figuring out why they died. I mean, if you got a big hole in his body somewhere, that's pretty obvious, a hole in his head or whatever. But that's not what caused the body cease to function. That caused such trauma to the human body that there was not enough life to overcome it, and the spirit man was gone. Now, when you begin to understand what that means, when a disease attacks this body, it not only attacks the flesh of it, it attacks the mind, the will, especially the will to live, and the emotions. And the emotions have everything to do with the mixture of all of these things together and needs to be controlled by the power of life. But Jeremy, there have been people died because they wanted to. There have been people died because they're so fed up with this world. I've experienced that with people that I was ministering to. There was one man that really came to the Lord. He had serving a life sentence for being a three strikes and you're outlaw and that kind of thing, where he was a four-time convicted felon, and so the results was a life sentence. Mm. Incorrigible criminal. He had no way to rehabilitate. And he'd been in prison for years and years and years and years, to the point where his family just disowned him. They didn't even have a daddy anymore. And he'd been that way for a long time. Well, he got saved in prison. Just fell in love with Jesus. He couldn't talk about anything else. He just, heaven was all he thought about, and he just... We were in a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship meeting up in the state of Washington, and it was a men's meeting up there. And he had... He had gotten released, and he came to that meeting. Now, here he is on up in years. He was, if I remember, I may not have this exactly right, it's been a lot of years ago, but in my recollection, he was in his mid to late 50s, maybe even early 60s. Good hell. And he'd been there in that meeting for a couple of days. I was, and we were over in the cafeteria, the dining hall, and all of us men, there's probably, oh, I don't know, 200 or 300 men there in that meeting. And he was at a table right across from me, and I overheard him say to the men around that table, he said, "You know, men, I don't have anything left in this world." He said, "I don't have any family anymore." He said, "I don't even know where they are." He said, "It's been years and years since they would even contact me." And he said, "I understand that." He said, "I'm not grapping about that at all." But he said, "I want to tell you men something. Oh, Jesus is my family." And he said, "Heaven is my home." And he said, "I'll tell you, he said, there ain't nothing left for me in this earth anymore. What little that I can do for the Lord, I'm really ready and willing." But he said, "My life has just been exhausted at nothing." And he said, "My whole life now is just heaven." He said, "It'd suit me fine just to go on home now." And he was the conversation at that table. So I got up and left early. I was speaking that evening, and I went on across to the chapel where I could just be quiet, walk around in there a little while before they all got over there. And I'm standing up there at the pulpit. I'd walked around and prayed all through the room, and I walked up to the pulpit and just laid my Bible up there and kind of leaned over on it and was just praising the Lord and thinking about my service. And and the word of the Lord came to me and said, "There's a man headed over here. He's going to want you to come pray and raise somebody from the dead. Don't do it. He's with me." Okay. I mean, I no more than heard that. And I heard this guy hollering before we ever got in the chapel, "Brother Copeland, come quick. Oh, come quick." He's just running there. I said, "Whoa, whoa, settle down. What?" "Oh, so-and-so." And it was that man. Hmm. He said he just fell dead right there in front of the dining hall, the mess hall. He said, "Please come, please come. I believe the Lord will raise him up. He loves God." And the anointing and the love of God went all over me. Glory to God. I mean, I can experience it again right now just thinking about it. And the Lord said, no, don't even disturb him. Don't try to call him back in there. He don't want to be there. Hmm. And I said, no, sir. No, I said, "I heard the word of the Lord before you came over." I said, "We're not to do it." And so he stopped a second, and I told him then what the Lord said. He said, "Well, you know," he said, "I kind of thought that," but he said, I just got excited about praying over him and so forth. this, Jeremy, there wasn't anything physically wrong with that man. But, and we talk about the Lord bringing him home. Well, yeah, but it was that man's choice. This is important. The will, the mind and the emotions, the spirit of the man, the soul is in the spirit, and the spirit and the soul are in the body, and the spirit is the life of the body, and those life forces, the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, the force of faith, the force of righteousness, being right and one with God, and the force of joy is your strength. Mm. And all these different things, the fifth chapter of Galatians outlines them. The book of Romans talks about these forces. Yeah. And you realize when those are practiced and they get big in there and they get strong, that becomes the renewing of your youth. Mm. That gets in your words. That begins to have authority over your thought life, and you transform by the renewing of your mind. Your mind begins to think in line with these things. Your emotions are now where you get emotional about the right stuff instead of the wrong stuff. And it's not just the emotion of weeping. No, the emotion of joy is greater and stronger than that. So when you, all of this is what Jesus was after in bringing us to the place where life is stronger than the word being sown on stony ground and the word being sown among thorns and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches entering in. No, these are sown on good ground that hear the word and receive it. Latch onto it like a dog grabbing the bone. Don't you touch my bone. Oh, you ain't touching this devil. No, man, you ain't coming against me. You're not taking the word out of my heart. No, you're not taking it out of my mouth. You're not getting it out of my eyes or my ears. No, sir, I'll put it in yours. Get out of my sight, you know. Don't touch this. That's mine. Amen. That's what Jesus was after, isn't it? Why? Bring forth fruit. 30, 60, 100-fold. That's what he's after. Amen. And we're going to get us a bigger clock because we're out of time. Praise God. Jeremy and I'll be back in just a moment.
When God said, "Let there be light," at 186,000 miles a second, the universe was born. The creative power released in those words lives inside you right now. The first thing God did after he created human life was to give mankind the blessing. You cannot earn it, buy it, or demand it. The blessing is the very creative force of God that is given to every believer, setting them up to thrive. Kenneth Copeland's latest book, The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and Adds No Sorrow to It, is the result of over 40 years of study, practice, and down-to-earth insights on the blessing. Filled with real-world examples that transformed Kenneth from debt and doubt to a lifestyle of health, wealth, and peace. Living less than blessed, knowing there's more to life than what you see? Failure is not an option, and success is guaranteed when you unlock God's blessing in your life. Make the change. Start today. Order The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and He Adds No Sorrow with It, the newest book by Kenneth Copeland. Go to kcm.org and purchase your copy today for only $19.99 and save 20%. Discover the keys to living every day completely blessed, the keys that changed Kenneth Copeland's life forever. Go online or call our toll-free number and order The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and He Adds No Sorrow with It today. God has empowered you to succeed. It's time for you to live blessed.
Now, we've been talking about he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. So Jesus is talking to anybody that listens to him, right? Incline your ear to my sayings. That means you say, "Lord, I'm listening to you and I'm ready to act on it," whatever it is. Now listen to what he said. "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Isn't that amazing that he puts that right at the end of that? If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is knocking at the door right now. He has prepared a place for you. He has an opening for you right now. He also said, if any man comes unto me, I will for no reason cast him out. I don't care what the reason is. He's already shed his precious blood in the presence of God to pay for the covenant that God accepts you through. So, the 10th chapter of Romans says, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you've known the Lord, but you've let sin get back in your life, there's no use you finishing the day like that. Pray this out loud with Jeremy and me. Oh, God in heaven.
Oh, God in heaven.
I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
You raised Jesus from the dead.
You raised Jesus from the dead.
I open my heart to you, Jesus.
Open my heart to you, Jesus.
Come in, please, sir.
Come in, please, sir.
I incline my ear and receive what you said.
I incline my ear and receive what you said.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
I receive your forgiveness.
I receive your forgiveness.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I renounce it.
I renounce it.
The past.
The past.
The devil.
The devil.
And everything he stands for.
Everything he stands for.
And I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
Now rejoice in it and let us know if that happened to you. I want to send you this little book on that gets you right into the Word of God. You don't need to be struggling with this book. That little tiny brochure is all it takes to teach you how to get started studying your Bible. I'll send it to you free and postpaid. God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, be sure to request your free salvation package from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at kcm.org, a book, He Did It All for You, and a brochure on how to study your Bible. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. Live It East Coast Faith Conference with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher, September 16th and 17th in Secaucus, New Jersey. Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference with Terry Copeland Pearsons and Patsy Caminiti, September 28th through 30. Come to the 2011 Word Explosion with Kenneth Copeland and special guests, October 13th through 15th in Columbia, South Carolina. For more information, go to kcm.org.